the bits of cultural furniture that are sitting there that we're like, oh yeah, that's been there for years. So yeah, what could possibly be weird about it, you know? And then we're gonna lift up that piece of furniture and look at all the bugs scurry away.
Morning. Oh, did you know cereal was invented to stop people from masturbating? Weird but true. You know, most of your childhood memories never happened. Your brain just made them up.
Adam Ruins Everything started as a web series for college humor. Host Adam Conover examines and debunks widely held beliefs that just so happen to be wrong.
You like it, so you're putting a ring on it. But have you ever wondered why we put diamond rings on things we like at all?
Oh God, you're gonna tell us the awful truth about engagement rings, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
True TV picked up the series and expanded it into a half-hour show, which is in the middle of its first season and airs on Tuesday nights. We sat down with Conover to discuss the underlying philosophy of the show and asked him what it takes to be a good ruiner.
One of your early episodes looks at the TSA.
Actually, the TSA doesn't protect us from terrorist attacks.
Could you just ruin the TSA a little bit for us right now?
Yeah, sure. That one's kind of low-hanging fruit. I feel like a lot of people already suspect this. But the TSA has never stopped a terrorist attack, or at least we don't know that they've never stopped a terrorist attack because they've never claimed to have stopped a terrorist attack. The reason for that is that the TSA's security is totally static, right? Like, all they do is screen items for discrete things and then scan your body in this specific way, right? That it's, it, you know, very easy for a terrorist, if they want to figure out, like, all right, what aren't they scanning for right now, and go through and around it. What the TSA actually does is a concept called security theater, which we learned about from this security writer, Bruce Schneier. Security theater is the idea of putting on a big show of security in order to make people feel safe. You know, when the TSA has these items that are not actually dangerous, but you'll be stopped if you take them through. They post on their Instagram feed the stuff they confiscate. They posted like a grenade, like a plaque with a fake grenade on it. It's like a novelty thing, you know? It's made of wood. No one is mistaking this for a grenade. No one could ever mistake it for a grenade, right? But the TSA says novelty grenades are not permitted. You know, why? And then, you know, this weird sense of, you know, by taking things away, they give the impression of doing something.
And as you mentioned, the TSA is kind of low-hanging fruit. It's something that everyone kind of feels a discomfort with. But you do take on topics that are kind of cherished beliefs, whether it's engagement rings or fingerprints mm-hmm. or cars. Have you ever taken on a topic that you ruined for yourself? Something that you thought, oh man, I really wish this were true or something.
There's a few topics in our sex episode that's coming up in a couple weeks that were things that I genuinely didn't know at all that the writers brought to me. I won't spoil what they are, but they're two like very commonly held beliefs about the human body that I wasn't aware that I was wrong about, which was a very wonderful sensation to have, you know, to feel that, like, holy crap myself, you know, yeah. This feeling we're trying to give the audience, I got to experience. In our hygiene episode, we talk about why you don't really need to shower every day. There's no medical reason to shower every day. A dermatologist will say, actually, if you shower every day, you can over dry your skin. Really, you just need to watch your armpits and crotch. But, you know, soap companies, you know, sort of like advertised and sort of instilled this this cultural habit of you must shower every day, and if you don't, you're gross. I do still shower every day, despite knowing that, because I feel disgusting if I don't shower every day. In the same way that I also bought my girlfriend a piece of diamond jewelry after shooting the diamond engagement ring section. Part of the thesis of the show is that you can't escape culture. You can learn about it, you can criticize it, you can try to move it slowly, but at the end of the day, you can't actually opt out of the culture that you're in.
I mean, it seems like, you know, we're in an age where everything is a Google search away as far as information goes. So all the information is out there, yet these misconceptions that you're taking down in the show persist. Why is that?
Well, it's interesting you say Google, because you're like, well, information's right out there. It's right at our fingertips. But also what you want to believe is right out there, you know? So it's the classic thing of someone, you know, Googling autism vaccines, and, you know, they'll find what they're looking for depending on what they think, you know? If you Google first engagement ring, and people will watch our show and go Google it, first engagement ring, and they'll say, wait a second, the first engagement ring was given by like a Bavarian prince in 1524 or whatever. Now that little bit of story is part of the De Beers advertising campaign. That was like a thing that they put in newspapers and magazines and stuff to make it seem like an older tradition. It's not false that happened, but that was just one example of a guy who gave a ring one time, and De Beer says that was the beginning of the trend. It wasn't, you know.
But with, so with that example, I mean, mm-hmm. it caught on and it spread so quickly and so yes. easily, it almost makes it seem as if like the culture was hungry for this symbolic sacrifice that people could make.
Sure.
Do you think that's possible?
That's definitely possible. I think, though, that the main thing is that a corporation, a company like De Beers, is a social entity that exists to get money for itself, right? That's the purpose of it. That's what it'll do. I think that what we need more of in society is corrective institutions that try to influence people in the opposite direction, that pull them the other way. And so that's what I hope that the show is.
When you watch the show, you see these little citations pop up for mm-hmm. every fact that you're putting out there. Could you explain your decision to do that?
There are so many people on TV who just tell you, this is the truth, right? And here I'm telling you the truth and believe me, right? Now, we're kind of doing the same thing, but on our show, like, we could be wrong about these things. You know, we don't have a huge research staff. We do have one, but they're not enormous. You know, we're a bunch of comedy writers and, you know, journalists like putting together, you know, what the truth is to the best of our knowledge. And us showing our sources is saying, here is the material you can use yourself to question our show, because this is the work that we did. So if we quote a stat, it comes from this WHO study. And if you can say, hey, actually, this study had a bad sample size, or whatever it is that you might say. And I hope that people do that. And if we get any that are, you know, credible, I would like to, if we're lucky enough to do more episodes, to like do a, you know, corrections episode.
And Adam ruins everything.
Exactly. Yeah, we've talked about that a couple times. Yeah, yeah. Unless you have a habit of undermining your own beliefs and of being curious about these things, you won't look into those things more deeply. And part of the thesis of the show and the mission of the show is to help instill that habit in people.
When you're talking about examining truth claims, everyone is looking through their own lens, but there doesn't seem to be a strong, like, partisan lens or anything mm-hmm. that you're filtering your show through.
You know, I have political beliefs like anybody else, but that's not what the show is about. People have told me, like, you should do an episode on Planned Parenthood, on the truth about Planned Parenthood, right? Depending on what they think the truth about Planned Parenthood is, you know? We're not going to, because there's no way for me to do an episode, here's the truth about Planned Parenthood, where every person in the audience won't already know what they think about that. I wanna do stories that are about the things that we take for granted in our own lives and never think about, you know? Like the bits of cultural furniture that are sitting there that we're like, oh yeah, that's been there for years. So yeah, what could possibly be weird about it, you know? And then we're gonna lift up that piece of furniture and look at all the bugs scurry away.
The underlying mission of the show is to promote skepticism, free inquiry, questioning your own beliefs. Do you feel that the culture itself is moving towards that?
It's interesting. To me, it's not so much the culture changing. It's that people always wanted this stuff. If you look at the content that does well on the internet, like the most viral content, you know, there's some categories of it, you know, BuzzFeed stuff that's like the relatable content. Oh, that's so me, right? But there's another big category of it, like here's something amazing you didn't know that really hooks into people. The other cultural change is that comedy has been starting to be taken much more seriously in recent years. You know, ever since, I think of it as like post-Daily Show comedy, right? Where, you know, that was really a turning point where people started to realize that like, oh, comedy and satire can have a true cultural impact and can have something to say that is serious. John Oliver's show came out as we were in production on this show, and I love that show so much. And it really showed that, oh, there is an audience for what we're about to do, you know?
I also see a comparison between shows like Penn & Teller's Bullshit or Mythbusters.
Yep.
Are there any other shows besides John Oliver that had an influence in how you're approaching this and bringing it to television?
I used to watch when I was a kid a lot of PBS, and I realized after we started making this, I was like, this show is actually very similar to, it's like Beakman's World or Bill Nye the Science Guy for adults in a way. It's very visual, and we have these comedy characters slide in and do their demo of whatever the topic is, you know?
It's a great show, very fun and educational. It's Adam Ruins Everything, Tuesday nights on True TV. Adam, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
For Reason TV, I'm Zach Weissmuller.